Oh, you did it. You pushed the button.
You tell me to push the button when I'm ready. I'm going to push the button.
Hello,
when I'm ready.
And welcome.
Amazing.
To the Cube Horror Games podcast. Huh? What now? Oh, God.
How many kids do we have?
Yes.
Too many? Not enough? Production. Just the right amount?
Bart, well, you're seven people.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was trying to remember what number he used.
Oh boy! I was getting there. I was gonna introduce everybody first, but you know what? Fuck it. Happy Tax Day, everyone.
There's someone else. Right? Lisa, you're seven people. Bart, you were wounded in Vietnam.
May 17th, the year of our Lord 2021. Happy Tax Day.
Normal Tax Day.
Normal Tax Day. I forgot all about it because we had done ours already because we still had to file in March for the
business
stuff, and then we could have waited till technically today to finish filing the personal stuff on top of it. But I just kind of like
might as well do it all together.
I didn't even do that. I did the business stuff and then gave it a couple weeks and then finished like near regular tax day. It was like April something. It was some day in April, and I was like, I guess I'll just get this done this weekend because whatever. But then I talked to my mom yesterday, and she also had just filed. Like, she was like, I'm gonna send a thing in the mail tomorrow, and then I'll be done. I was like, oh, shit.
That's right. Mail?
Look, man.
A what?
What a quaint generation.
I'm pretty
sure... put a stamp on and everything.
I'm pretty sure my dad does it by the mail, too.
Yeah, ours too.
I did.
Yeah, I would have guessed that.
I met them halfway. I actually did send our business stuff through the mail this time, because it afforded us one less TurboTax product we had to purchase, and it saved me like $120.
Remember when you get the big tax books in the mail and fill them out through those?
I don't even know if that ever happened to me. Like, I've gotten, in the on and off years of contracting, I've gotten, like, they've sent me the forms for that. Like, they'll be like, we noticed that you've had, you know, self-employment income in the past, so here's the stubs to fill out if you still do. But nothing like in the time where I was filing my own taxes, which for the first couple of years I did, my parents just did it for, at some point in my 20s, I started doing my own taxes, but I couldn't tell you which year it was right now.
I started the year I started my part-time job. So as long as I've been doing taxes, I've basically been doing my taxes.
It has to have been at least 10 years since I manually filed through the mail and did it myself. Because TurboTax is a zillion times easier.
But yeah, this year for the business stuff was the first time I had ever sent a like non-digitally sent part of my tax return through the terrestrial post office.
Did you prepare it with like an online?
No, I just took
right.
I took the forms we had done the previous years and did some Googling to check if anything had changed significantly, and then I just filled them out manually. Like I just opened up the PDF that TurboTax generated from last year. I'm just like,
I just kind of copy pasted.
Right, and I just copy pasted it. I copy pasted it right down to putting in variables. I was like, I'm gonna copy all these fields. I'm gonna put something in each of the spots that has something, and I'm gonna put X's where the numbers go. so then when I go look up the numbers, I can fill them in for this year. So my first pass was doing that. It was literally filling it out line by line to match the other one, and then checking my math to make sure I had all the values right for the current year as opposed to the previous one. But, I mean, no one's come for me yet, so I guess it was fine.
Yeah, because you can't, like, for this, I don't know if it's all just self-employment stuff or just because of how small our scale our stuff is. You can't do that with, like, online filing things.
Well, it's just the way TurboTax arbitrarily segregates its product line. It's like, hey, if you have...
They don't have those resources available.
If you employ people either directly or through contract, or if you receive, like, self-employment or contract or small business
self-employment
income...
Self-employment is more
We're not going to include that in the free version of our product that we technically now have to provide some version of that some people can use by the federal government. Instead, we're still going to put it in one that you charge a significant sum of money for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever. Fuck you into it.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Anyway, yeah, I saved a little money doing that this year. So, but it did take longer. Like, it took, you know, probably twice as long, which wasn't some massive investment of time, you know.
From 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, something like that. But probably closer to, like, 4 or 5 hours instead of, I don't know, some amount less than that. But whatever, took part of a Saturday, and then I was done with it, so.
And to be fair, that's much shorter than it was the first time we tried to file our business stuff.
I'm sure that, like, the first time you're doing something like that,
it was awful. No,
yeah, what?
We did have help, like, Dustin's uncle.
Yeah, my recently, at the time, my recently retired uncle, who was in, he was an accountant for some number of years, many, many years up to that point. He helped us figure out initially what we even needed to, like, track down and file, and then...
Because, like, the business software doesn't tell you shit. It's just like, oh, you're a business? What do you do? And it's like, okay, where are your forms? Which forms do you need? I'm like, sweetie, I don't know. And it's like, well, you should. And I'm like, well, thank you. It was great. It was a fun evening. Mm-hmm. It was a long evening.
It must be wild to work at the IRS and sort through all this crap. Like,
Not most people,
but, you know, a significant amount of people just have no clue, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And they've error-ridden tax returns every year.
Sure. Of the people who are sending physically, which is already, like, a pretty eclectic group, I'm guessing for the most part, how many of those do you think show up with, like, oh, this envelope's sealed with a Band-Aid? No. Oh, there's just, like, gum in here.
Under income, you listed a $100,000 and taxes $2 million.
Under income is just a shiny, sparkly sticker that is giving you a thumbs up, and I don't know what this means. That is not valid for this field.
I'm not talking about my finances with a machine. Only put this letter in front of a person, and then
there are no forms in here. You just mailed us your W-2s.
I bet that happens a lot.
Yeah, you're probably right. Oh my God, I wouldn't be surprised if like 10% of people's mailed-in taxes are just they just like rip the stuff off and put it in an envelope and send it away. Right,
sort it out, man.
Oh, you're so right, Lorraine. Oh my God. Speaking of late introductions, better than none. So, Lorraine Morbido is here.
Technically, yes.
Talking about taxes.
Ew.
This is what our podcast is about.
No,
now.
Not
it's
the
all taxes
cast.
All the time. Pick the best time to get into it, right when tax season ends.
Gotta get
we'll be ready
for
2022.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ace attorney over here.
My name is Dustin Morbido. Joining us via the internet.
Don't listen to me. I'll stop talking forever.
I have to keep going, Lorraine.
Not at
we'll
me.
Never get done. Joining us via the internet, fellow tax filer Kyle McGrath is here.
You can't prove anything.
You keep all your funds and assets offshore. You don't have to file your taxes.
That's right. You're technically a 16-year-old from Panama. Like that's what the that's what the papers say. You're
as
an independent billionaire
knows.
From in the Cayman Islands.
I have to keep all my like housing and lodging and stuff. You know, I have to use the aliases for that. But small price to pay. Uncle Sam ain't getting one jigger of my monies.
Also joining us via the internet, fellow tax filer,
allegedly
tax filer emeritus Philip McGrath is here.
Hello. I also get to look at other people's taxes every
day.
Yeah, I was about to say I couldn't. We never were privy to sensitive information as like people's social security numbers because people didn't give us that. But if I had done ill enough, I could have gotten a small bounty of credit cards if I had really been determined to do so. Working with private information is, you know,
a dangerous game.
Scary.
Yeah, it is a little scary, honestly.
You get used to it.
Yeah.
I don't feel anything anymore.
Like, yeah, but like for real, like you.
But here's
you
the thing:
enough social security numbers. Eventually, you don't even think about it.
Uh-huh.
What if you were copying each of them down as you went?
Don't do that.
Here's the thing: I'm gonna throw out there just to. You know, I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway, because fuck it, it's been a while.
Oh, great.
It's not my problem anymore. At points in various states of my previous employment, I had personally been put into situations where, like, I was helping maintain there were basically three sets of databases. There was production, QA, and tests. And at this point, the pipeline was kind of fucked in such a way that, like, you know, production was live data, obviously, so that's, like things that are happening in real time on actual websites that people can go in their browser and visit. QA was theoretically, like, a staging ground that was outward-facing, where as you would do work for clients, you would put updates there for them to view that they could just view over the internet, but that, you know, it's not live data. No one's really placing orders or putting any real information on there. It's all for the benefit of quality assurance for people outside of the company. And then test was the pre-staging for that, where you would just make changes to sites and then kind of test them yourself or test them internally before they would like be promoted up the chain. And there were points where certain clients, for a good reason, they would audit us on a semi-regular basis, usually like once every year or two, to determine that our like data was segregated correctly, that we didn't have important live personal live data in non-live servers, basically. And one of those instances, while one of the websites was being like really overhauled, and the quickest way to get a bunch of test data is to just pull a copy of the live database and shove it on the test server. I had someone come up to my desk and be like, "All right, well, we're going to get audited by company X in about 3 weeks. So I need you to go through all of these databases and omit all the data that is now in there. Like, I just need you to fill it up with garbage because we did this the wrong way." And, you know, it wasn't like... It was no, like, ill intent on either the business or the consumers. It was basically just to subvert the bureaucracy. But it's still not the good policy to do that in the first place. Like, they were right to not want that information on those servers, for sure. But that was one of the more benign, like, oh, this is just like when you're an adult and people don't give a shit how well things are done. And so now the rest of my afternoon is weird.
Yeah. Shortest distance is between two points of the straight line. No one ever said it was the safest route.
Yeah, right. That's basically what it amounted to, but you could, you would end up with, like, not whole credit card data, but, like, people's full names and addresses and, like, you know, the last four digits or whatever, like, all that stuff could technically exist on, like, dev servers that anyone in the company could reasonably access. And, you know, wasn't great. but it is what it is. But anyway, I don't know. Now I'm just rambling. That was the point, I think, in my, as my introduction into, like, the salaried workforce was, where I was like, oh, nobody ever knows what they're doing. This is all held together by duct tape and, like, a smile. Like
duct tape and dreams.
And yeah, we're over here worried about, you know, some microchip in the vaccine giving everyone our information.
Right, yeah, 100%. Like, that's the, like, look, I promise you.
They already have it.
Yeah, right, Facebook knows your blood type. They didn't need an injection to do so. They figured it out, I guarantee
Zucks
you that.
Has known.
But anyway, speaking of data and hacking and servers and information, there's a new season of Destiny
out. Work hard enough.
That's right. There's like, what kind of illicit information do you think is on the Vex network? Like
all the porn,
future blood types,
all porn.
Yeah, the blood type of every person who has ever or will ever be born.
The social security number of your grandchildren
and their grandchildren.
Their grandchildren.
Oh,
that's it. There's no more space.
Nothing else. It's just that. Then they filled it up.
I mean, that's the horizon point where humanity goes extinct.
When the Vex
win, I assume.
They have everyone's social security numbers. They just start opening credit cards and everyone's names.
Is that like the wild card ending for the Destiny universe? There's like a light victory,
dog victory, like the Resident Evil dog victory.
Right, yeah. It's like, right, it's the, you open a door somewhere and it's just a white room with a Shiba Inu inside. It's like, yeah, the Vex.
I want it to be a harpy.
I've been the Vex.
It's just a single harpy. He's just trying. He's an intern.
Vex victory is...
Phil, go ahead.
I was going to say a Vex victory is like a sort of like a dark victory. Because they don't worship the dark or have dark powers, but they represent the darkness. And in the previous universe, they were the final shape that was destined to be by the darkness.
I know that the Vex in the garden do worship the darkness.
Yes, those ones do, because in the universe they came from, the darkness wasn't part of the universe. It was just like observing. And in this universe, the darkness became part of it when the Traveler did. And that's why the Vex are like, oh shit, this isn't how things worked in our old universe. We gotta worship this, figure it out. Yeah, it's all
the, they have a name. Soul Inherit, I believe, is what their name is.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was just the one thing's name or their whole collective.
I think it's the name of those.
It's the Soul Collective.
Collective. Okay. That's, there we go.
Yeah, and right. Soul Inherit is that one boss. Mm-hmm. It's the final
Soul
cover.
Inherit.
Yes, Dustin, please use his right name.
Wolfion.
Now that was just the boss of that one strike. No, not Insight Terminus. It was the one on Nessus.
The drilling.
That Insight Terminus.
No, that's the Cabal one.
That's the one with the Scion at the end. Is Insight Terminus?
Yeah, right.
Oxot and Oxod.
That dude is hacking the Vex network or something.
I'm thinking of the right one.
What is that?
Right. I don't remember what it's called either.
Who cares?
It had a giant guy at the end for a little bit, so people called him Swolfion.
It was funny.
For a week.
I didn't even know. Was it ever actually live in game? Originally,
it might not.
Thing they patched out before it went live.
Yeah, I think that's actually what happened. But they shared the picture of it because they were like, "All right, this was so awesome. Funny. The community has to know."
I want to say they did just let it go live as a joke once.
But it was like smaller. It wasn't as big as the original leak.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's Wolfion. X.
Sucks so weird. And it's dumb that they don't have, like, you know, that their goal should be like economic unrest and panic as opposed to the things they're trying, because that should be more in their wheelhouse. Make all your bank accounts zero.
Inverted Spire. That's the one.
Yeah, that thank you.
Yes. I had to know. Yeah, yeah. I needed to look. Insight Terminus and Inverted Spire.
They're very similar names.
They're both on Nessus. They both technically have Vex in them, but they're both very different. You either got... That's Protheon that. Is the boss of that one.
Okay.
Swolfion.
Okay. And then Kargan is the other booty.
Well, that's the thing about the Destiny universe, too, since we're just talking about, like, the big picture lore stuff or whatever, is that,
big
like...
Big picture.
It is an intersection of science fiction and space magic that, like, I don't actually know where those two lines really blur. Like, I haven't read enough of the lore. Like, the fact
fucking
that...
love the
lore. Fact that ships just, like, appear and disappear magically...
Yeah,
like, I don't... I'm not sure if that's a technological thing in Destiny or a sorcery thing.
I think, well, like, with the Sparrows, it's the ghost transmatting it.
The ships might be the same thing.
Yeah.
It is the same technology, but I don't know if it's controlled by ghosts or not.
I think... I'm pretty sure the Sparrow is ghosts. I could be
but
wrong.
But if a ghost does it, is that more tech or more magic?
Yes.
Light is magic, and ghosts are extensions of that.
Ghosts are machines, though.
I'll say that... Even in the game, they say that the magic that exists is still science. We just don't understand it.
Something
sort of like
high enough order, indistinguishable from.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like Osiris says that about hive magic.
Sure.
In one of
there was one more card where a guy he's like building his own speeder just on his free time. So it's like, you know, I can make you one in a second, right? Tells him to shove off because he wants to make one.
There's a bit of dialogue in one of the battlegrounds from last season where Holiday mentions Osiris's space magic. And he's like, what? He's like, it's not magic. And then goes off on an old man rant at her kind of about it. But there's your most
recent.
She's
a normie.
She is a normie. Saladin basically tells her to go die so she can be a guardian.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
she's like, lol, no, I'm good.
That's across the different races in Destiny 2, because humans are, you know, as the current possessors of the light, they get more magic than most, whereas, like, the season before this one, with the Proving Ground Strike, whatever, like, the Cabal just have machines. Like, that tank is just it's not powered by weird space sorcery, it's just
it moves.
Right, it runs on
it
oil
breathes.
And earth and, you know, shit like that.
I'm just quoting
this. Birth fully grown soldiers every, like, minute or so.
Right.
Yeah, the whole thing about like the Cabal bathers is wild because they just like spring from that bath fully formed. Like that's legit what happens.
So they're like the Uruk-hai in Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Like someone like a different Cabal pulls them up and pops their gross little Cabal bubble and just like scrapes the goo off of their faces and they're just like, all right, I'm ready for killing.
They're like
there's some great stuff about the Galran in the latest the Presage lore book.
Oh, the Presage lore book is so good.
Here's a crown. Don't disappoint me. And then he goes,
right? Here's a crown that will make you crazy.
Don't. And then does.
Oh, Brian's here.
Get a good run of it. That book's great.
Yeah, all that Presage stuff is so good.
Makes me wish we could play Sad Hat.
I know.
Yeah, it makes me wish that stuff was just a little more readily surfaced, because I didn't finish all the, I never found all the chests or whatever, just because I couldn't be asked to. I still recommend
finishing that for the last room.
Highly recommend.
Can you still do it? Could I do it now?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, you can go in.
I think you should talk with Mike again, because he was like primed and ready to go with that. I don't know if he has to do it again this week or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he has it, so it should just be good.
Yeah, I could get another drop. I haven't done a Presage this week. I could get a dead man before reset.
I don't know what was causing that thing where you could only open a couple chests.
Yeah, that was really weird. I'm not sure, but I saw it.
Weird. Mm-hmm. It but anyway, great. Now that Brian's here, now that we have everyone I assume we will get tonight. How's it going, Brian?
Oh, it's going all right. Am I coming through all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm doing fine. Like, Destiny with Destiny part, like, I feel pretty good for a change.
Good.
That's nice. Good.
Yeah, it's hard. You have to fill out their own taxes.
I was like, here's a question for you, Brian. Which is more annoying, Destiny on any given week or doing your taxes?
Destiny.
You would rather be filling out like information about your W-2 than man, send that to Bungie. That's some feedback that someone needs to.
That stings.
Yeah. No. So like I had to pay on my taxes the last 2 years, and I still had my taxes done within the first 2 weeks of it coming due.
You're the most responsible of all of us, clearly. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. I get my taxes done. I don't fuck around. I don't want to deal with it.
It makes a lot of sense, especially if you're getting a refund. You know,
get that. Oh, sure. Yeah, right. If you're expecting a refund, you're only fucking yourself by not getting it as soon as humanly possible. But
yeah, no, totally. Actually, like this year, if for anyone that collected unemployment, waiting was actually a good thing.
Because they passed the other that other bill or whatever.
Yeah, that made you exempt of the first 10,000.
Right, which you'll still get that one way or another, but it made it more complicated if you had already filed.
Yeah, right.
I didn't need that going through it today. But they are just retroactively going through the ones already submitted and just automatically refunding the difference for people.
Yeah,
it's almost as if they could do that with your taxes to begin with and just choose not
Well, it's
interesting.
That's not a choose not to thing. It's they're legislated in such a way that they can't just basically automatically run it for you.
Yeah,
I mean, we could go into a week long discussion about how fucked up the American tax system is, and why it's a for profit thing, etc.
That you know, just go watch that Last Week Tonight episode about it. The major problems with the IRS are not because of the people who work at the IRS; they're because of what our government has dictated that the IRS does or does not do.
I know it's not the IRS, but still, that was the just disgruntled autocrat. Fuck y'all.
Yeah. Still wild to me that of all the things that, you know, we do right or wrong as a country in terms of advocating and spending dollars, the single best thing we can do with any given dollar is invested in the IRS. That's the return on investment.
Sure. I mean, but if Republicans believe anything, which, as I've said many times before, I'm still not 100% sure if that's true. Like, the more time that goes by and the more insane that party gets, the less true it is. But historically, if they have believed anything as a unit, it's just that the government having access to money and resources is inherently negative. So, you know, if that's your logic, then of course, why would you want more revenue for the federal government when you think it's all flushed down the toilet because you're a fucking jerk?
At this point, it's a free market issue too, and they don't want like lobbyists for tax companies
right.
are powerful enough that we could never possibly get rid of them unless we change the way lobbying works in the country. Like,
yeah, which the H&R Blocks, the Intuits, etc., are, you know, multi-billion dollar businesses that every year they expect to put a bunch of those boxes on shelves and have people buy them at Target and
because people need
to. Hey man, that I'm so glad that TurboTax, but Credit Karma does the same exact thing for free.
Yeah.
Credit Karma is like actively good.
Yeah. And
So the big thing is that like the Credit Karma one is regardless of what you have going on, it's for free up front. You don't have to do any digging for the specific link to get into the full free version that every provider has to have. Cause like the big grift of it is that companies can only sell tax software if they also offer it for free.
Yeah, and that's sort of a recent development, but yeah.
Yeah, right. but to use it for free, it's squirreled away in like the deepest corner of their website that you'll end up like clicking through links and circles for hours trying to find. So unless you have a resource like a Discord or something that's like, here are the links, then you're you're better off spending your time spending the money and earning the money back to offset it.
Yeah, and I will say for my part, because I did a little digging around, we had part of this conversation earlier, that on the IRS's website itself, they this year had done a much better job of pointing people directly through the internet to those places where you can get the free versions of the software from all those companies. Because like you said, within their own web, within, you know, the TurboTax website, they do want to just kind of hide it under a rock somewhere. Mm-hmm. If you like click the correct sequence of arcane links, eventually it'll surface to you. But
watch the John Oliver episode or watch Hasan Minhaj's episode about it. We don't need to talk about taxes anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Phil.
I'm fine with this. Mm-hmm. good transition. Let's move on.
Smooth.
Since we're talking about seamless, that was amazing.
Actually, let's rewind all the way back for the Destiny stuff, because since we started talking about Presage, that was always my plan to some extent to talk about the season that had just passed, Season of the Chosen, and kind of our thoughts about that, and then transition it into the first week of the season of the Splicer?
Has it only been a week?
Sounds right.
Yeah,
it'll be a week.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 week tomorrow.
Yep.
Ugh.
Right. It's only been 6 days, actually.
Whatever. Yeah. 1 week as of when this goes up, because I'll probably get this done tomorrow afternoon. But anyway, yeah. This is and also touching back on the thing I said before about just kind of opining about software development and its various foibles. I feel like the last season, Season of the Chosen, was it's either the best season that they've ever done that's not like a major expansion or close to it, and this new one so far feels like it's coming in a little hot. But what do you guys think? What are your senses so far?
I think they've sort of found their rhythm with these.
Yeah.
Your seasonal activity and then like a weekly mission tied to that activity that evolves the storyline in some way. So right. That's definitely something new. That was new to Season of Season of the Chosen, and then they're continuing here.
It's like Phil and I think it was just the two of us in the chat last night when I said this. This feels like the one of the, or very close to the final stages of their evolution of the seasonal activity. Mm-hmm. We still both pined for both, I think Brian was here too at this point, Vex Offensive and the Sundial, which just, like the rewards, I think themselves probably made some of that just better in general. Because I feel like the rewards have been a very big mixed bag.
Deterministic loot helps a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I'm getting good about that, too.
This is, like, the culmination of, I feel like, kind of the Sundial and last season's event. Or what is it? The Proving Grounds or whatever they were. Battlegrounds. Not Proving Grounds was a strike.
Yeah. I think those are both accurate. I think Proving Grounds was a strike, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It feels like they've learned, especially with, like, how you interact with the activity, because that hammer fucking sucks.
Right, the hammer sucks.
I hate the hammer. I hate it so much.
They took a layer of convolutedness out of it.
And I think they need to move a little further in that direction still.
Yes, like absolutely.
The way the loot works this season is still the sour spot of the season, but it is better than it was last season.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, if we could go back to something more to the effect of the deterministic loot in the menagerie, or even the sundial.
Arrivals had it pretty decent.
Rivals was fine too, but I mean,
I thought that was perfect for an Umbral Engrim system. Uh-huh. Anyway.
Yeah, but like, I mean, just the menagerie for getting the reward directly from the activity.
Yeah, I definitely like that better.
And the sundial.
Yeah, and sundial was extremely good too. It's like you should be able to do the activity ad nauseum, and then pick the loot you want and grind it to death, because it's still going to take almost always forever to get the thing you're looking for.
One of the things I don't think
they're going to try it. I think that they, in their own analytics, that they know that the best way to maximize both engagement and retention is to force you to do other things before you can come back and do the thing you want to do. Basically, you got to charge up your hammer or your data pad or whatever. And then you can go do it a bunch and then go back to simple.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about the Umbral Engrams is I like that you don't necessarily have to only do that. Because you can get them from like fucking literally everywhere. And like in theory, like if you don't say you don't like any of the armor or the guns specifically from the season, you can get, granted, they're not as great. Other versions of just like the world loot pool. So you like they've added tons of stuff to that, and you don't need to use the resources that you're not getting by not doing that activity. And the way that it's different from the hammer now, the fact that the currency you're getting is kind of from other stuff too, makes that it like softens it a little bit in the right direction. That is more like menagerie or rivals sort of feel.
Well, and to what Kyle was saying, you know, like the fact that you have to obtain a material from outside, you had to get the runes for the chalice. It just became trivial at a point. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's the same thing.
That's really why you have the caps on them now.
Yeah.
But right. I mean, even still, it's like, if it was a little bit more deterministic doing the seasonal activity, even if it was like you can get X3 rewards, like any of these three on the day, and you get to do this thing to choose which one you get, I think that'd be much better, frankly. Just because, like, any kind of, like, you know, we're supposed to be paracausal, let us be paracausal in determining our loot, you know? Yeah.
Let me paracause this fusion rifle.
Exactly. I think as the season goes on, because the thing that focuses engrams now is the currency of the season, whatever.
Data chunks.
You just amass that stuff just doing both the weekly bounties and the activity, so that'll stockpile up over time, and you don't need to like spend hammer charges on it.
Yeah,
you only get the encrypted data whatevers from doing override. You get the ether from doing everything.
So you get the weekly bounty.
What weekly bounty?
Like the seasonal challenges or whatever.
Oh, the challenges. Yeah, some of them dropped. The ones that are related to override dropped decrypted whatevers.
But that stuff, you will be able to build a decent stockpile of that over time, which you can then use to, assuming you unlock the engrams, pretty much get the gear you want. I don't know.
I'm really pessimistic about it. I feel like you go through the decrypted shit as fast as or faster than you get it, and unless you're literally going into override over and over, then you're never going to have any. And that's my only problem with the loot distribution this season.
And it's like, I agree with what Phil said earlier, I think it's still one layer of abstraction too high, where like, mm-hmm. like they've made it less onerous on your inventory and a little less obvious that it does multiple currencies, because that ether thing is just a number that lives on the gauntlet or whatever, like it doesn't take up space in your, like in your inventory when you go and scope over where all your planetary mats are and shit, mm-hmm. but it is still just another currency that has to be farmed from doing one thing, and then like you said, the data, whatever, is farmed from doing the seasonal activity.
Kind of, like last season, that was the Cabal Gold, that thing that just charged your hammer.
Right, Cabal Gold was ether, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get back to Chosen, Dustin.
Doing more stuff now.
Well, we can kind of keep comparing and contrasting the two, because like Phil said, I do think this has gotten fractionally better than that season.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's still with everything that like it's such a push-pull with like I can just see through the with this season's rollout more than any of the other recent ones, I think, especially in light of how the how the resources for the transmog stuff works. Like, it is so easy for me personally to, like, see through the matrix of the kind of conversations that must go on between the people in the trenches implementing this functionality and the people in management who dictating that it meets certain performance metrics in terms of player retention in order to get out the door.
Transmog stuff is really transparent.
And so, go ahead, Brian.
So, interestingly enough, on Twitter, I stumbled across an article from a prominent World of Warcraft like streamer and YouTuber, and he was talking about how the way that they keep rehashing these kind of trivial resource farms to be able to accomplish the same things that they were doing in the previous season, and sometimes in more contrived ways than before, is just like it's an endless loop of time sink after time sink, and I should find the article because I'm seeing a lot of parallels between what the Destiny season system and the arguments he was making in most ways.
Sure, and
that part of why I've been kind of, you know, separating myself from the from Destiny a bit is because of just how grindy and unrewarding it is. And I, like, with very few exceptions, most activities just feel really trivial. Like, you don't get much from them, and they don't feel like, and they don't even feel rewarding to complete in terms of, like, satisfaction wise either.
And that's the thing here, is that I don't think it's necessarily a consequence. I don't think it has to be explicitly a consequence of the fact that they do, like, this seasonal rotation where, like, every couple months they do a big reset with new activities and new gear and stuff like that. But it is absolutely a conscious choice to always push the player base to, like, its absolute limits, to just keep testing the metrics and keep trying out just, like, what is the right amount of duress to put on your player base to make sure they log in, you know, one more time a week or, you know, three more hours a week or whatever the fuck the numbers are that they're trying to hit.
Push-pull has been around forever.
Yeah,
you know, if stuff comes too easy or too rewarding, too much, you know, people get what they want and they quit and they don't come back.
Uh-huh.
It's too hard. They feel kind of like Brian does, where stuff sucks and isn't worth the time, and then they leave and don't come back. You try and hit the sweet spot where you keep people that just want that grind forever, but also enough, you know, it's easy enough so that the casual players don't feel just completely intimidated by everything.
Yeah, but I mean,
so my position isn't even that it's difficult. More that it's like, just
very few things in the game are difficult.
Well, like, the real thing is that, like, they're not finding new things to make a want in me to spend the time necessary to try to get them. And the few things that there are, it's like, you know, it's a dice roll. So it's like, do I want to invest a ton of time on dice rolls? Like, why don't I just, like, go spend some money on a gacha, you know? What's the point at that end, you know?
You already paid for this.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Sunk costs.
I mean, this was a gacha already, you know? It, like, the season systems in general just starting to feel more and more like a prepaid gacha.
There is a discussion to be had about how the game is monetized and how it's not necessarily okay to be, you know, charging a seasonal pass and, you know, expansion pass and microtransactions on top of that and all that. You know, there's definitely an argument over what is too much to put on the player base in terms of trying to get money from them at every angle. Like, I don't think they've completely botched it, but I do think that in some areas they might have gone a bit too far.
They could definitely do better. It was recently revealed that there's a new Vault of Glass emote, and it will be reverse, and it will not be dropped from any of the encounters in Vault of Glass.
That's
the type of stuff that rubs people the wrong way.
It is, but also, like, old raids, I think, had two shaders. This one has four. You get two shaders from the raid like you normally would, and now there's just two more shaders in Eververse. Like, if you had completely separated that from the raid and just had them in the shop, no one would have noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, so the big thing that I think is, like, you know, if they have an emote that's coming out paired with it, like, they had the chalice in Spire, right? or good. It was a spire drop, right?
The chalice.
Yeah.
So,
like, you know, what happened to that?
They found what they could, like, charge for.
Because, I mean, you know, like, if you do that, because they can almost certainly, if they're charging for everything else, they can certainly afford to make one that they can send into the, like, send into an activity for people to earn. And putting something like that, that's a pursuit, is one of the ways to make people play shit a lot. You know, give it a 1 or 2% drop rate and then be like, because it's not something that affects gameplay in any way, you have to chase it. Chase things are one of the best things to do to create player retention and make people play more.
I would really like that. I would like to see them add it to Atheon's loot pool or whatever and still have it in Eververse, because a lot of people aren't going to raid. And if they want to buy it, cool, good. I don't care.
I'm on board with that compromise.
I think that's a good compromise. But the fact that you can't get the Vault of Glass emote by playing Vault of Glass is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they did that with most...
kind of just completely separated emotes from gameplay. Like, I don't think you'll ever see an emote from drop ever again. Yeah, I agree. But I hate that.
I think that's a huge mistake. And that, like... I mean, it's like the Super Simian Sphere, or...
Right. If there were other things, more other things, that did drop medically in gameplay, like, I think it would be an issue. I don't see it. I have a problem so much as emotes are in Eververse, but so much that there's not enough in gameplay, whether it's an emote or an emblem or a ship or whatever. I just think they just need more of it. And they've gotten that feedback a lot over time.
Or really cool ghosts, like anything like that. Ghosts.
Sure. Because,
I mean, if I could get
child's gear that never dropped for anyone.
In your end game content, stuff in fancy, exotic, cosmetic shit. Because we're playing Space Barbies, you know, and we want our Space Barbies to be as Barbie as Barbie-ly possible. So. Give us all the Barbie, like, make us run after the Barbie head first.
Come on, and Barbie. Let's go, Barbie.
Exactly. I created a really shitty YouTube video I started by singing Barbie.
It's beautiful. I loved it.
My really fucked up Barbie world.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
And, 10 out of 10. It's just, would recommend.
You gotta give people the thing that they want, which part of it is weapons, part of it is gear, but the rest of it is pretty makeup for their pretty princesses, and horses for them to ride on, and pets, and fancy dances like Fortnite.
Give me a home. Let my guardian have a home.
I just want stuff to drop. Like, I don't have specific requests. It just feels crummy that the only thing that drops is weapon and armor, and 99% of the time you get it, and you're like, well, this sucks, and then you delete it.
Everything has such bad rolls.
The whole loot feedback loop in this game is kind of broken.
Yeah. I mean, especially, like, for anything that's in the, that you do out, in planets, like, just getting blues for doing literally anything is super shitty.
And they're like clearly learning a little bit, because on Europa there are ways to farm like legendaries.
Yeah.
And it seems pretty well thought out, and I like it, but I, you know, they couldn't or didn't make a similar system for any of the old locations. So.
Especially since they axe like most of them.
It's a step in the right direction, but it's not far enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder what their long term is with that.
Part of it for me is that, because in the sense, like, as far as the cosmetic stuff, like, I understand why people want, I absolutely understand the impulse why, like, you would want everything to theoretically drop in game or whatever, because why wouldn't you? Because it's fun to just pick up new shit or whatever, but but that's not even necessarily the core issue for me. Like, the problem for me is that, I am sick of the way that Destiny is clearly being guided on some level through some form of management to bear down both on the player base and honestly the people that create the product in a way that is still to this day, like you said, the way it like waxes and wanes, the way it fluctuates and goes up and down, like it absolutely feels completely experimental. In that, with any given release, they are testing the limits of what people will tolerate, and then you know they'll backpedal a little, and then they'll push a little harder next season, and then they'll backpedal a little again based on how rabid people are on Twitter or whatever. My pitch for how it's like, because the other thing there is like I feel like I still feel so much sympathy for the people who just make this game. Like mm-hmm. they just get up every morning and they are on some little subsection of the team that makes Destiny, and they have to get up and make Destiny, and having people go apeshit on Reddit or whatever.
Literally
about like
everywhere.
How this game is trash and how it sucks and why nothing ever works right. But imagine how you're a player of Destiny and you see something like the transmog system and how manipulative it is, and in the way that like where people figured out that the bottom tier currency, whatever that stupid thing is called, it's like time gated, where you don't get it from killing right. shit. You get it every couple of minutes on a timer. Minutes.
Really?
Yeah. So it's okay. So that's even like I said, that's purely just manipulative, experimental. Yeah. It's worse than like mobile games with timers, because at least those put them on the fucking screen. Mm-hmm. They're like, all right, here's what's going on. You built one unit and it's going to be 10 hours unless you want to give us $2. Like at least they're telling you to your face how they're fucking you.
The scary thing to me is Bungie has done that before.
Yeah, like, right.
With experience way back when even.
I remember that.
They made it so you could only get a certain amount of experience within a certain amount of time. And it would the amount you were supposed to get still displayed on the screen, but the amount you actually got was like 10% of that or something.
Right. Yeah.
And when the community found out, obviously, people threw
it. It was
shit.
A real shitstorm.
Yeah. Right?
And Bungie was so apologetic about it. And now it's like this is very similar or feels very similar.
Yeah, right. No, it is. It is absolutely the same philosophy. And and the thing there is, like I said, so imagine, now know that you're in that position as a player and all that, and that all that shit happens to you, and that's how that feels, and just like project for a minute into the people on the team at various stages, because on the one hand, and here's how I suspect a lot of it even works out to like reduce morale even for some specific people way more than others. Like I strongly suspect that the people who built the transmog system. And are in charge of getting that particular segment of the game rolled out, on time and functional, whatever, are not the same people who built something like the Presage mission.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably not the same folks. So imagine that you get up every day and you're working on Destiny, and your job is you work at Bungie, you're working on Destiny, and you get to work really hard on this elaborate gameplay thing that, like, it's not a guarantee that you'll sink the putt or whatever, but you at least, if you do it right, if everything comes together, in the magical way that when a game dev thing works, that people are going to like it and people are going to be appreciative of it. Like, that if it comes together and functions, people are gonna feel good about the thing you made. And that's one whole segment of the people who work at Bungie. And now imagine you're on that other team. And the thing you have to do is make transmog, and some parts of it are you make the best of it. Like, I need to make this UI is as good as I can make it, and like hopefully I can make it pretty responsive or whatever. But then a significant portion of your day is dedicated to shit like getting into fucking meetings with managers and middle managers and having hours long conversations about the changes you pushed last week to the economy, and like how like is 8% drop rate too high? What if we lower it to 6% and test that for 2 weeks? And like just think about how draining and soul sucking and meaningless, like, that you technically you're like, oh yeah, I got this job working on this game that I really care about, and like this is what it's come to, like this is what I have to get up every day and deal with. So, like, I just don't want people to lose the thread on just, like... And I wish, like, the people at Bungie higher-ups would understand that, like, these kind of decisions, the fact that you are on a, like, every couple months, you're testing the limits of what people can tolerate, are not only pushing people in your community to just have more negative feelings about the product you're making, like... you are pushing some or all of the people who create your product into just, like, no one wants to spend their time doing that shit. Like, it is not what people, like, when I thought, I'm going to get to game dev and I get in this job, like, this is not the way, like, if I wanted to do stupid bullshit like this, I'd go work at an accounting firm and make more money and work less hours. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, but game dev is supposed to be a creative venture more than anything else. You shouldn't have to be sitting through hours of monetization meetings and dealing with that kind of weird bullshit that ultimately, even if they ask you your opinion, it's not really going to matter.
Yeah, and honestly, managers should have trust in the people. Like, you either have trust in the team making your product or you don't. And more often, you know, this is not unique to Bungie or game dev by any means, but more often than not, people don't. But if you do that, like, if you have the courage of your convictions to say that, like, all right, the team we built, the quality of the product that we put out, you know, I'm going to stand by that. Because Presage, I still think, is one of the best, like... I think that's one of the best things they've ever done in the seasonal model.
It's fucking amazing.
It stands up to, like, it stands up as a piece of content that is worth paying money for and experiencing. They need to have the courage of their fucking convictions to say that, like, all right, our goal is not to sociologically and psychologically experiment on the people who make this game and the people who play this game until they are either, like... sufficiently addicted to such that we, like, feel we've dialed in, you know, just the right amount of dopamine per drop or whatever, or sufficiently fed up that they just throw their hands up and leave, and they have to have the courage to say, like, no, we trust the people who we have hired to make this product, and the thing that's going to determine whether it succeeds or fails is if we can collectively succeed at making a product that people want to purchase.
What if your most important metric is how many people buy the Dead Man ornament that popped up on screen after you finish Presage?
Yeah, and then right, and then, you know, you're all the way back around or whatever. But it's just it breaks my heart all the way around. It's just it breaks my heart, I think, more when the game is good, like when there is good shit like Presage, and then there's still this, like, distracting nonsense of, like. There are people, like I said, there are people who are, you know, on those teams busting their ass one way or another, and, you know, some really cool content gets made, and at the same time, it is just totally detracted from by these, you know, these self-inflicted wounds of just like, no, we're just gonna fuck with people, because...
Why not?
Because free-to-play is, to some degree, always inherently manipulative, but you can, you can temper that if you choose to, and that's kind of not what's happening now, and it really, it's just frustrating.
The free-to-play thing, it's not...
Yeah, free-to-download, it's not free-to-play.
Right.
I mean, so... I had a thought, but I lost it.
No.
I'll come back to it.
Go ahead.
Someone pointed out to me...
The game is not a free-to-play model, like...
Right.
They're not... It's not like you get the first hit free type of thing. It's just there's a very rudimentary version of the game that we're not going to charge you for and hope that you like it enough to pay for cosmetics and crap. But, like, it's not like any other free-to-play game. You get you pay for the...
And that's not the spectrum, you know. Too, but you're right. It's not like like the purest free-to-play games. Like, it's not like fucking CSGO. It's not like you do all the gameplay things that are in the game... And then also you can buy skins for your stupid guns or whatever. Like, it's not that.
I just remembered what I was thinking of. Dustin, when you brought up the ornament that pops up after you get Dead Man's when you beat Presage, like, how fucking dumb is that? Like, you know, the idea of the suspension of disbelief and you're invested into... what you're doing, the activity and everything like that, and trying to, like, focus on the game and the gameplay, and then they hit you with, like, this thing's for sale in the Eververse. It's like, that's a fucking knife in the back.
Which would be one thing if I didn't already pay for the game. If it was truly a free-to-play game, you know, you take those kinds of things as a concession. But I paid for, you know, the season pass.
Sure, like we couldn't do the Presage with Doug and Ashley because they didn't both have the season pass. It's content that you already have to opt into with dollars.
Yeah, it's like, I guess you can do those, like, shitty ad pop-ups on free-to-play players.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I mean, like, other than, like, you know, other than, like, hey, maintenance is going to happen in a few minutes, you shouldn't get, like, full-screen fucking pop-ups that aren't involved in the gameplay.
Did you know you can reset your valor? Was anyone aware of that?
I mean, the reset your valor is fine, but it could be less intrusive.
Except when it comes up during a crucible.
Yeah, that's fucked up when that happens.
Almost never happens. Uh-huh.
But if you get out of an activity and it says, hey, there's a new activity here that's specifically pointing out an activity, not like, you can go do this and then you can buy this, or anything like that. Yeah, it, when you first log in, if it's like, it could be like, we have new stuff in the Eververse, that, and then you just clear all those messages, and then you play, and that's it. As far as the weird pop-up messages you get, that's fine. I don't care. But, like, if you have, but just don't be like, hey, you can come buy this $10 skin for a gun right after you get the gun,
yeah,
and the coolest thing that they've released in over a year.
Right, and I agree with what you, because I think Kyle brought that up first, and, like, I think what you're both saying is correct. Like, I really don't have a problem with them even advertising, like, on login. Like, when you get to space and they put up a thing that's like, you know, here's some shit you can buy this week. Like, whatever, that's fine. It takes one button press to dismiss. But yeah, the hard sales pitch of, like, in the content, like you said, in a piece of atmospheric, very moody narrative content, that within that context, they're like leaning on you to make a sale. It's like, come on, guys. Like, come on.
Yeah. I was going to say, of all the content they've ever released, having it be during pressage is like the worst possible thing.
Right, yeah, even if it's... Go ahead.
Exactly like you said, it's so atmospheric and you're so deep into it. And you're, like, a little bit scared and anxious while you're playing it, and then they're like, hey, give us money.
Yeah.
Like, at least wait till you get back to orbit, to be fair.
But, I don't know about you guys, but, like, after I did it the first time, I had not fully, like, emotionally and
mentally... Yeah, right, you're still absorbing it. You're still processing... It. Yeah, you're processing the narrative and, like, gameplay thing that just happened to you. Like, you're still taking it in.
Yeah, and it's like, you know... The only thing that's kind of been close to that was the Whisper mission.
I was going to say, this all goes all back to the Whisper mission with those gun ornaments.
Yeah.
I made a lot of money off that.
Well, it did. If my memory serves me correctly, the Whisper mission was full free for everyone that owned the game. But still, you had to buy the game.
The game wasn't free to play yet.
Yeah.
You had to pay for the Warmind expansion.
Okay, so you had to pay
just to have the game.
Yeah.
And Destiny 2 wasn't free. Yeah.
Right. You had already invested $100 in it. Because I haven't paid for, like, out of pocket on Destiny stuff since the last season pass, I guess if they tune down the ornaments or, like, the Eververse stuff a little bit, then it wouldn't be too bad. Then I was like, wait a second, I pay for the fucking season pass. That's like, what, $30 a year or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like
$10 a season.
Minus one,
right? If you buy the bundle, if you bought the big version, you get one for free, basically. Yeah.
Well, and then like each expansion is what, $40.
Beyond Light.
Oh, you're right. They didn't. They did that. They did that with Shadowkeep.
Yeah, they did it with Shadowkeep, but not Beyond Light.
There was like a slight discount to buy.
Sustainable.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, if every player that you have that's actively playing is paying $100 a year or even like $50 a year, like, Jesus, what the
fuck? I don't think that the amount we pay is predatory for the amount of content we get and the amount of...
I'd agree with that.
It just bothers me that they still segregate things between free to play and, you know, paid to play when I want the whole game, and I want the whole game to have, you know, roughly equal amounts of attention.
This
is free to play, so we're not going to focus on it at all because it doesn't generate dollars.
And that's the biggest problem. So most of us play more Crucible than any other playlist.
Right.
And, like, that's what keeps me playing the game, Crucible, the competitive PvP mode. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it is now free to play seems to be the reason that they don't design any new Crucible content now. They use it as an excuse, like, well, we're not going to be able to monetize it, or at least it would be difficult to figure out how much money we make from it, so we're just not going to bother making any new content. Yeah, that leaves a... And even worse, you could argue, especially on PC, free-to-play kind of ruins trials, because yeah, all the people who cheat are people
right,
who
right, are right, free-to-play accounts that, like, they get banned and they spin another one up in a couple hours and then do it all over
again. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, or they spend all week really spinning up accounts, and then they just have, like, a couple dozen accounts to cheat with going into trials. It's awful. Yeah. Like,
especially
either.
Go ahead.
They like people have been kind of saying, you know, just like cut free to play out of Crucible, or cut Crucible out of the free to play stuff,
or trials at least.
Yeah, or yeah. Trials specifically. Trials makes sense.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know if you want to get the quick play playlist out of there, but trials is such a discrete. Right. Like you have to assemble a fire team at this point to get in there anyway. Like I can't imagine that there would be realistically much downside of removing trials from the free to play set of things you can access.
Yeah, right. And I mean also like you know free to play can't hit the power cap, so it's like I guess what's the point there? But then like. Yeah, I lost my train of thought again.
But remember when Bungie used to release map packs for Halo?
Phil, that's exactly the point I was going to make. I was like, the thing that you said is so much, when you look at the history of Bungie, is so ironic, since the original first thing that any Bungie product ever charged money for that wasn't a full game was map packs in versions of Halo.
Honestly, I'm sure everyone in this chat would pay $20 for two maps.
Sure, and the legacy of Halo, honestly, when you look at that, right. Like, the only reason that a Destiny exists is because the most popular Halo games had the long legs that they did because people played a ton of PvP. Yeah. Like, people weren't playing the Halo campaign for 8 months after it was out, you know, like, 18 times in a row or whatever. Like, you play it when it come out, maybe you revisit it, like, every couple years or something, but, for the most part, if you're playing Halo 2 3 years after release, it's because you're getting in there, what did they even call it?
Shitload of PvP.
It wasn't Crucible. What the fuck was it called to play PvP in Halo? Was it in-universe name? It doesn't matter. It's not the point.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Wait.
Well, they clearly acknowledge how important PvP is, because they do go out of their way to balance it, but they just never add anything to it.
Layer.
And,
Layer.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
What the hell was I going to say?
That was a clash.
Yeah, that was
yeah. And again, I don't even think you need to like I said. There's a. I don't think you need to excise. I don't even necessarily think you need to excise free to play stuff from the game entirely. I think you just need to respect people's time and be upfront and honest, and to not continually fuck with them on like a rolling basis of how fucked like this weird other grind we're gonna put in is gonna be at any given season. Like the thing that I would do. That I think could totally realistically be done, that just, like, it almost baffles me that that whoever's making decisions is such a fuckwit that they they haven't conceived of or would refuse to do this, is, like, for something like Transmog specifically, if you wanted to fix Transmog for me, if you wanted to make Transmog, like, I'm 10,000% okay with this, take a couple of those free drops that this season they basically just gave them to you. Like, they just gave them to you. Like, you finish the two steps of that quest, and they're like, here are 10 ornaments that you can unlock for every single character you have. Take those and just dribble them onto the season track. So, like, if you've already gave us money, you're going to get these just by playing the game through this grind system that we already implemented a while ago, like, through a pre-existing part of the gameplay loop. And then to unlock each additional one, say, all right, you can give us some money, or it's just put Bright Dust on it. Like, you already have a system to do this. You do not need to make this fucking stratified, like, other grind that involves 6 different currencies or whatever the fuck to gate people out of getting, like, all of the shit instantly without any effort. Like, oh my fucking god.
Honestly.
Bungie has never been good at streamlining their processes like that. Like, it feels like every season... Yeah, they're terrible at it. It feels like there's 3 or 4 different systems that all could have been one system.
Yeah, like, and just imagine, like I said, from both sides.
3 or 4 different
At that point, it's like, all right, you can take your whatever Bright Dust you're going to accrue over the course of a season, and you can spend it on some of the new shit as it cycles through the shop, or you can go backlog. You can buy, like, 15 different pieces of old armor. Like, if that's the way you want to choose to spend your free-to-play currency, do that instead. As is all those people on the Transmog team, like, they don't have to argue with people about what percentage is the right percentage of like how many different steps of the system they need to implement with new drops and all that shit. It's just like, all right, guys, it's one number. If you want us to make it go up, you know, we don't have to have an engineering meeting about it. We just make the brightness number higher. If you want it to go down, you know, it doesn't involve a change set. We just make the number smaller. Like, we change a value in the database and we're done.
I appreciate that the transmog crap isn't directly as a part of Eververse and how you unlock it. If I get a bunch of stuff, I don't necessarily have to spend bright dust on old armor. If I want to buy the new stuff, I don't have to choose between them. It's just that the process for getting them, or specifically the length of time it takes, is a lot.
I don't want to continually be pulled in like 15 different directions. Like, the game already has so many built-in grinds. Like, there are so many different things you can grind for as it exists. To keep layering them on, like, one after another. Like, how many layers is enough, you guys?
Right? I do hate the whole process of it. But, like, and it's not how I would have drawn it up at all. I think it should have been either just, like, every 5 levels on the season track past 100 with some sprinkled in, like you said, you get another one. Or even just have the bounty be the entirety of it. Have it, you know, like a weekly bounty. You can do it on each character and unlock one piece forever.
Yeah, whatever. Anything like that.
So I was actually thinking, like, they could have even, like, at very least, on the first time through, because with the new reward systems for, like, Shax and the Drifter, like, you get one as you rank up in those activities.
Right. Yeah, or on reset.
It could be once per season, or it could be every time you do a reset. Mm-hmm. And you could get them by playing the game.
What?
And
no. Impossible.
By playing the game now. It just takes...
Yeah, no,
but my point is, it would be simpler, and you wouldn't need this stacked up fucking process that they figured out. Like, I mean, not even figured out, that they schemed, because this isn't like how do we fix this problem? This is like how do we create a problem to fix?
Yeah, and
how do we bleed a little more money?
Sure, yeah, exactly. And the other thing there is, like, kind of to top off all the different, like, points you touched on there, the other thing that I think they've always gotten wrong when they've done any shit like that, like this, is that it's always tuned such that, like they tune this stuff in terms of time investment clearly to oppress even the people who put, like, a whale amount of time into total gameplay into Destiny.
Right.
Like this stuff is tuned to be burdensome to people who log in for, like, 10, 20 hours a week. Like, that's their starting point, is, like, these are the players we're going to start, like, the people we want to put the screws to some degree are people who are already, like, super deeply invested. So if you're outside of that bubble, like, fucking forget it.
Yeah, I've always been baffled by that. Like, if you're a casual player in this game, it's hopeless. There's no way you're going to get anything. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm not super invested in, like, the Destiny Twitch streamer YouTuber content, like, whole, but, like, even, like, the guys that I do pay some attention to, like Azdacross, Fallout, Glad, like, Cammy Cakes, all those guys, they're like, whenever they talk about the content or PvP or anything, they just sound exhausted. Because
especially
it's like
PvP's part of this.
Yeah, it's just like there's too much shit, and there's too many problems that have been created with overly complex solutions that never needed to exist.
Yeah,
everybody's feeling the squeeze of being put on the experimental treadmill every season.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. And like I said, the push pull of just like of how many currencies, how many different kinds of grinds, like how many different systems are people willing to put up with. Like I said, that's the part that irks me the most, because the opportunity to do this at least a little bit better, just to value people's fucking time more, is still like, I have no issue whatsoever with the cap on, like, total ornaments per season. Like, I never had a problem with that. I'm like, that's fine.
Oh, same here.
And the worst part about that is that no one will play enough to even hit that.
Right, but
yeah, it's not possible.
The fact that
it's
like 10 times worse than people, like, who even objected to that assumed, were like, not only is there a cap, but it's, like, functionally impossible for the no-lifiest no-life people to ever conceivably hit, because it's time-gated outside of that. Like, put the cap on and let people, like, if someone wants to sweat their ass off, if someone wants to unlock all 10 of them in 4 days, let them. And then they're done with that part of the game for now. If someone takes 3 months and only gets like 4 of them, that's fine too. Like, just, oh my god.
Yeah, there is a gross disrespect of their players' time and sensibilities that comes with the way that Destiny's designed.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, it's just, like, and I kind of believe this with most things in life when you're trying to model people's behavior, but especially for video games, which are, like, ostensibly supposed to be fun. Carrots, not sticks.
Destiny feels like a chore.
Like, incentivize people to do shit, don't punish them for not doing it. Like, it's just that simple, like, at the end of the day. And there's wiggle room within there to experiment or whatever. But, like, the exhaustion that people feel collectively based on these systems right now is because, like, it is just nakedly obvious that their balancing is they're not figuring out what size carrot they need to present you with to lure you in for more gameplay. They're trying to figure out how big the stick they can beat you with is before they knock you unconscious. Like,
The idea is they hit you with a stick until you...
It's just, That's the saddest thing of all to me, because like I said, this past season, the season of The Chosen, I think was really well realized. I think it is among their best efforts in terms of content for like putting out updates to Destiny over the course of a couple months.
Great, because Season of the Hunt was a real down.
Yeah, it was like, it wasn't much of anything. It would have been like that season, quote unquote, would have been an abject failure if it had launched. Like, if it hadn't launched alongside Beyond Light, if it was just that content for like 3 months.
Yuck.
Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, so like, despite how kind of irritating and long and just like kind of senseless the Battleground event was, everything else about Season of the Chosen was really good. As far as like it, Crucible didn't feel nearly as oppressive as it does now.
Yeah, and even the Battlegrounds, the reason you feel that way about the Battlegrounds is not because the content itself is too arduous or takes too long. It's because it's too arduous and too long in the context of what it gives you back. Which is not, like Phil said earlier, it's not like you do the thing and you get a thing. It's you do a thing, to do a thing, to do a thing, to get a thing. Like,
And for how many steps that requires, you would think at the end you get a pretty good thing.
Right, and you get maybe a thing you don't want at all for all of that effort.
You could spend 6 hours grinding something to focus down the loot you'll get at the end multiple times through multiple tiers of convoluted shit. And then flip a coin and get the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Or get the right thing with the wrong perks. And it's just, like, it's my single...
46.
Or, like, and this is my single biggest problem with Destiny right now, just in general, is that, like, no matter how much time you put into trying to grind something, you might not get anything worthwhile. And I would rather, even if it took forever... I would rather see a system where you are perpetually getting closer to the thing you want, even if I had to play a fucking ton to get it.
Yeah, and like, at minimum...
Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say that my floor for this stuff is, like I said, and this is where you build from changing the side of the carrot, not changing the size of the stick. At minimum, my floor for Destiny things should be, like, do activity, get reward, and then, like, how much reward... I don't know. At that point, like you start with like, you know, one object every other run, to one object every run, to two objects every run, to whatever the thing is. But like, don't never make it do a thing to get a nebulous number to go up that'll eventually net you a new thing. Like, fuck that. go ahead, Kyle. I've
been presented as an option in various sources over time, and we all remember this from WoW, the badge system where you do an activity and get a currency, which, you know, Destiny's a million currencies, but and that the specific currency, you would build it up over time, and once you had enough of it, you could buy something really nice. Which, you know, you could curate that to any experience.
Right.
Nightfalls or whatever. If I got 500 trial tokens, I can buy a speeder or a well-rolled add-up weapon or whatever. And you could do that. And it's such a good idea for incentivizing people to play over long periods of time. You know you'll get there eventually, and you don't have to go into trials every week. Like, I hope this message roll finally drops for me when, you know, you're just going to get a bunch of pass items with rocket launchers and walk away feeling like crap.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I really wish that they would bring something.
I feel like Menagerie was like knocking on the door of that well.
In a way.
It was a good first step, but not nearly enough towards like the more fully realized thing that you were saying there with like the badges or whatever. But it was so close because you did more stuff. You got more of the currency. You were, as you did more things in general and got like whatever, what was it? Something to level up the cup. Doing seasonal stuff to do that, which then helped you dial in more with the other drops you're getting to get like very specific sets, very specific like roles. Like,
not surprisingly, this was the most successful loot system in all of Destiny and Destiny 1, like 1 and 2 history. It's people still clamor for it.
I just think they should take it a step further. And it's like, if you get a crap ton of this stuff, you can buy exactly what you want.
Right. You can literally forge your own weapon or armor.
Yeah.
Like, you can decide what perks are on it.
And like you said, there's the they backed their way like that system is in the transmog system, like 12 feet deep into a pit covered in other shit. Because, like, they're, like, technically, that's how it works.
It's a little different.
But why does that have to be, like there goes my criticism of it. It doesn't have to be Bright Dust. It could still be, I guess, one other unique currency. But, like, why does that have to be, like, 14 layers of abstraction deep to, like, because they're trying to push people to their limits. That's why.
In fact, it's really not that. Doing anything gets you the currency. You spend the currency on the game, and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true.
And it's still stupid that there's technically like four steps to that. You know, you have to turn the currency into a different currency into a different currency. But in practice, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Ada's lonely.
Ada's lonely.
She needs
that's true.
She needs somebody to talk to her.
So that kind of a process that we're seeing in Destiny is true in apparently a lot of other MMO style games in this day and age, where it's like you're retransforming a currency into 9 different currencies to be able to finally put it into the thing that you need it to be to maybe get something, and it's just
sure, and that stuff all comes
loot box bullshit,
right? Exactly, like that comes from that all branches, you know, evolutionarily down from how mobile games have evolved. Where like
go watch a Jim Sterling video.
Yeah, you'll right.
It's so like I mean it's just that free-to-play model bullshit, but also they could charge you money, but it doesn't get rid of all the free-to-play elements of it.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, looter shooter RNG is just gross in every looter shooter there is. Because, like, I mean,
there are looter shooters that have better systems than Destiny, though. Like, the Division is a better system for getting the shit you want, at least.
Yeah. I mean, I was gonna say, Destiny, it feels like it's coming to a head that it's almost kind of hitting an anthem point. And that's a gross feeling.
What do you mean by that?
The game Anthem.
I couldn't even speak to the economics of Anthem because there was barely a game underlying it.
I mean, like, so to be a little bit more specific, like, when you're talking about the world drop rolls, that there are, like, 14 perks and 2 slots, and then like you're rolling the dice anytime you see one, and it could be the god roll or it could be garbage indefinitely, and it's just kind of it's kind of getting cluttered in some ways, but at the same time, you know, people want a lot of weapons and loot, which is good, but also without a way to be deterministic about it in any way, it makes it really messy and sloppy, and it starts to feel overwhelming in that, like, well, what the fuck? I could grind this for 100 hours and never see the thing I want.
Sure.
And there's no way I can make that go. It was similar to what Phil said earlier about, like, you could play forever and not progress towards your goal.
Yeah, and if you look at one of the more recent TWABs the last month or two, where they, like, it was when they talked about upping the drop rate on those weapons, specifically the ones that drop in the playlist. Whoever wrote that part of that blog post It's like, yeah, well, we want players to, you know, feel their way around weapons the way we do internally in test, where, like, we put, like, every possible perk, basically, on a gun, and then we just try a bunch of them out and see how that feels. And, like, to me, that is, like, like, I appreciate the intent behind that statement, but that's really, like, the lies we tell ourselves to make to make these things justify. Because that's not how that works in practice. It's not like, even with that updated drop rate, any individual role of those guns is so inaccessible that, like, you don't get to feel your way around the sandbox of the different permutations that this thing can take.
You may not get them all.
Right, because again, if you play like two...
You're not going to get
If you play
all.
2 hours a week, you'll get one roll.
Maybe.
A week, maybe. And if you play a disgusting amount, like all of us have at one point or another, you'll still get a handful over time, but like... I promise you I haven't seen 20% of the permutations of bottom dollar that can roll.
And the problem with that is that all perks obviously are treated equally. Led from gold and, you know, underdog roll, there's the kill clip roll you didn't get, and it's not like they're equal, because they're not.
Yeah, again, and we're talking pie in the sky things that, like, the game that we wish Destiny was philosophically, like, the thing that we wish they would do for players. Like, what if it, And I know that, like as funny as this would be, because this was, like, the thing to some extent I didn't like about the Destiny 1 UI, like, when I look back at it, I'm like, Jesus Christ, look at all those circles. Like, when they just have, like, 15 different options that you can pick a bunch of, but I think there's a decent middle ground in the way Destiny 2 weapons are built from the ground up that, like, what if every time you got one of those random rolls, you could eat it and socket a perk of it onto the gun you already have? Like, what if... Huh?
Right.
Imagine
People have been
that shit
for that for literally years.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was asking for that at the end of year one.
Yeah, and we've had we've mentioned that on here before. I know for a fact we have. And it's just and then that system could be the thing that dev described. It could be like, all right, this gun over time I'm gonna accrue more copies of it, and like I can infuse other copies into it, and eventually I can try like 14 different versions of it by just like building it out to where I can swap a bunch of slots going into a quick play game, and like see how it performs with these perks, and then two games later swap like three of the things on it and see how it performs the next time. And it would be iterative, and it would just be it would just not feel shitty.
You could even tie it to, like, time investment by having experience on your weapon or whatever, so that you have to use the weapon to be able to put stuff into
it. Yeah, make it Final Fantasy IX style. Yeah, I killed 10,000 people with the Crucible with this hand cannon, and now I get to put a new perk on it forever.
That has everything. Exactly.
Yeah.
Justin, I was going to cite the same TWAB, but for a different reason.
Okay.
Because when they said they were upping the drop rate on the, like, bottom dollar and all those other seasonal weapons, they specifically said they were only tuning it a little because they didn't want players to get the rolls that they wanted.
Right, which is just an awful thing to go at it with.
It's such a
bad attitude for game design.
We want people to grind these weapons for a whole year. We can't up the
pressure. Sure, and honestly, I'll give the most charitable version of that. Like, I'll give the most benefit of that you can give to that statement, because I do remember that too. Like, that line, like two or three lines of text deeper. Like, I'll go ahead and say that the intent behind that, like, kind of tying to the statement that I cited, was like, we don't want players to settle on, you know, the kill clip role without trying all these other roles out. But again, still, if that's really what you want, if you want people to feel their way around the sandbox, then do the other thing we just said. Like, just make it easier to try different stuff on different guns.
Or just don't put kill clip on it.
Or whatever. Yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah, balance your fucking perks better.
Yeah, they really sides. Like, if they need to sunset something, they need to like sunset damage boost perks, or at least tune them down considerably.
I'll say they've done a good job the last season or two making new perks that are desirable without being broken. I'd rather see them do more stuff like that than like dilute the pools with bullshit.
Every
time Lead from Gold and Genesis are on a weapon that I get, I just want to throw up a little bit.
but I mean, at the same, like, my thought is, like, inevitably, you know, like in the last season or two with Stasis and the damage buffs that come of it, plus the new Warlock boots and everything like that, the damage boosts are just so insane, because like you get super lenient two taps off of messengers or other high impact pulse rifles. You get two taps off of 120s at ridiculous ranges. and other weapons, just like it, the we're power creeping the TTK so much with damage boosts that like things become unreactable, like you like where it's like you get you can't even get shot once and then go, oh, I duck back into cover, and then, you know, flank, you just you poke out and then you're dead, and that is ooh, that feels real shitty in the game that it used to be.
Removing something like kill clip wouldn't change the I don't want lead from gold on my weapon problem.
Oh, I know. They need to get rid of lead from gold. Or make it right, better.
They just need to balance all of their perks better.
Yeah, definitely.
But at least they did say they're going to look into like Hedrons and stuff like that for the damage boosting perks. Yeah. And get rid of those, mm-hmm, which I'm down with. And you know what? Like, I'm okay with kill clip and rampage on weapons, because at least like in high level PvP, they're not even necessarily that good. They're just getting quick play.
No,
I don't mind if quick play is a little pub stompy.
And I mean, like kill clip and rampage and multi kill clip, they require a kill, so they're not like as gross as like Hedrons or like or the new warlock boots and the blessings of the sky that just get chucked out everywhere, or that. Just the passive damage buffs that are realistically problematic. Like, honestly, it's like something like Inertia Override is the most balanced of those, because it requires you to pick up ammo, reload your weapon, and then you get the damage boost, but you have to be moving in such a way that typically is going to put you at risk. So it's not even that bad.
That long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like the weapon, like the damage perks that are on guns, like primaries and stuff, I actually think those are more well-tuned than the global ones. In the sense that, like, all right, if there's a damage perk on a primary weapon, the cost of unlocking it is getting a kill with that primary weapon. It's not just throwing an ice grenade 15 meters, like, mm-hmm, around a corner that you can't see and having it randomly tag someone, and now I'm spun up with a damage perk.
Yeah, I mean, my complaint is just, in general, the sheer volume of damage boosts is just makes it frustrating to deal with.
Sure.
And realistically, the ones on weapons are not that bad, mm-hmm, relative to the other ones. Because, like, just the pass, like we were saying, the passive ones are gross. Mm-hmm. And they don't need to be there, because, like, they accelerate the TTKs, even in high-level play, in such a way that there's not really counterplay, unless you just play, like, a total shit baby.
Mm-hmm. I was fucking around with, here's a slight bit of praise finally for like a base mechanical thing. I was fucking around with that. What's that perk called? Where you get damage buffs from grenade kills? It came out this
adrenaline
season.
Adrenaline junkie.
I think adrenaline junkie is a really good implementation of that, because I was testing it just to see how it even works, and it's basically rampage with 2x duration for grenade kills. So if you kill a thing with a grenade, mm-hmm, you get one stack of it for 10 seconds, and it has rampage level. It's 10, 20, 30%.
Okay.
For every grenade kill you get, and it appears to refresh completely, like with like 2 stacks, will give you 10 more seconds of full damage. If you happen to kill a second thing with your grenade, which in PvE is very easy to do, in PvP I suspect it will not come up a ton.
Yeah, right. No, it's kind of like a one for all type of perk that it is good design, and that it's definitely not going to break Crucible.
Right.
But it does allow them to implement new damage perks.
And I think it's better than One for All, and that, like, One for All is really good in PvE and, like, really bad in PvP. I think this one just is straight down the middle. Like, it's better than One for All in PvP and probably a little worse than it in PvE. But, like, technically, mm-hmm, you can use it once or twice a game in either, probably.
Mm.
Question, Dustin. Did you test Adrenaline Junkie with handheld?
I did. It does work. Like, if you vaporize somebody with your supernova, you get 10 seconds to go apeshit on.
that's cool. I like that.
It should work with Getaway Artist too, for the same reason.
Yeah, I would assume so. I didn't test it with that, but we should try it out.
It's probably much better, actually. I'm going to do that
specifically with handheld supernova, because that's a risk reward thing, you know.
Yeah, and with Getaway Artist, it kind of is too, honestly, because then you're kind of pulling your punches. Like, you even want to pace your shots. Yeah. You're like, I want the killing blow to come from my arc buddy, not from buddy, like a bullet that I put out there. Like, that's cool.
Right.
Oh, that's neat.
I was having fun with it in Sunbracers in the override yesterday. Just shooting out grenades, and then all of a sudden I have all these stacks of adrenaline junkie.
Uh-huh. But again, like, that goes back to, like, how generally speaking, I think the quality of the gameplay stuff is pretty high. Like, almost every perk they've introduced this season is at least interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't look at any of them immediately go, like, oh, this is objectively total garbage. Yeah. Like, I at least want to try all these out and see how they perform.
Heating up, tunnel vision, those are both really cool.
Yeah.
Tunnel vision is definitely a super good perk. I was thinking about the new 180 hand cannon, and it's like, you know, they put 14 perks in each slot or 12 perks or whatever, but it's like, ultimately, you're just probably going to want tunnel vision and multi-kill clip, because if you're even going to use the 180.
Sure.
And a lot of that is less a problem with multi-kill clip specifically, and more like 180s are badly designed weapon types, at least for Crucible, because their time to kill is so outdated. Unless they have a kill clip perk active, at which point they become, like, super OP, and there's not really an in-between.
Yeah.
I don't know what the solution to that is, really, other than I kind of wish they had moved them to 200 RPM. But
yeah, that was what Wade suggested, and I think he was right, ultimately. Because it puts them in a where they can contend in TTK without being overwhelming.
Right. And they still maintain their identity at that point, too.
Right. Honestly, 180s could also use a tiny range buff, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. There are too many weapon subclasses.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they, because like it's feels like
five you're be, fusion rifle types or whatever.
Like, yeah,
what's a fusion rifle? I mean,
it's weird because it's like, you know, with 180s, it feels like you're going to be losing fights against sidearms at reasonable ranges.
Probably will,
and that sucks. So it's like, you know, they need to kind of find a home a little outside of the sidearm SMG range, kind of creeping on the 140 hand cannon range without being... I mean, it could even be the 140 hand cannon range because they'll still operate very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, you know... we're talking about real problems that, you know, exist and have existed, but... Bungie's instead going to create new problems to...
They're slowly fixing some of these problems, and sometimes creating new problems accidentally on the way. But, like, you know, we had the same discussion a year ago about 110 hand cannons, and last season they were so OP that everybody bitched about it. Like,
Now
they're kind of maybe okay. Like,
it's kind of still remains to be seen, but there is a big difference. Like I said, if you... 110 or one, I guess 120s now. Aggressive hand cannons are the ones where if there is any weapon type that maybe does not need the damage buffs that it has, it might be that one. The inherent damage buffs.
Right, that's the one that tips the time to kill so heavily.
Right. And it only takes even like a swashbuckler stack is enough to push it against most players.
Right.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you how I feel about them yet this season. I straight up haven't played enough Crucible. Well, I'll tell you this. I used, what's the Iron Banner? Or not the Iron Banner, the Trials one called again. Iggy's Hammer.
Yes.
Used that a ton. It still feels fucking nutty, so...
Yeah,
it's
still really good.
Just like, once you knock a dude down, if you've got Rampage on it, you just keep killing people. It's fucking crazy.
Right, yeah. That weapon's still going to be one of the best quick play weapons. Honestly, one of the best for every mode. And I think part of that is, like, weapon balance in other weapons. And also, it's just a really general design problem that I don't know what Bungie can do about. In Trials, those weapons are good because just burst damage
throw so much damage so quickly. In one frame, you have halved someone's health, basically, if you dome them with one headshot.
Yeah. And other than using a bow, they do the most damage for a primary.
Yeah.
And unlike a bow, you can duel with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, if you ramp up damage at all with a Rampage stack or whatever, you can just go fucking nuts. This is kind of why I feel like auto fire weapons, high rate of fire weapons should have lower time to kill natively.
Yeah.
Just because they come with the added risk of you have to be exposed to use the weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Bungie has kind of waffled on that. Sometimes they seem to agree, but like for the last few seasons, there's nothing like that. in their design philosophy.
Yeah, and right, and I don't think that
you had
like,
your one season of auto rifle.
Right, when 600 autos ruled the roost, I don't think it was necessary. I don't think the problem was necessarily that that they had like slightly more optimal time to kill than hand cannons. It was just that the TTK was maybe a little low for like the tastes of players in Destiny Sandbox. I felt that they were a little melty, just like with no modification whatsoever. And they were pretty free, honestly. Like the. It was not hard to shoot people in the face with those guns. Like, it did not take...
That's a complaint a lot of players had.
People call it no-skill weapons, and that does bother people. And that's, you know, they're... Like most PvP communities, there's a, like, elitist attitude about some strategies, and people are basically looking down on anything that's not a hand cannon. But at the same time, like, hand cannons are a high-skill weapon, but they're also the best peak weapon, which, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
kind
of
dumb.
It's it's some amount of tightrope to walk, but I do think that at minimum, if just even if every all other things were different, if they if TTs and Ks across the board could be raised a little bit, if they were more like the because 450s now are like a 0.8 or something, right?
Yeah, they're exactly a 0.8.
Yeah, I think that's about where like weapons at base should like target to bottom out in the Destiny universe of how fast can a thing kill a guy?
Right.
Like, and it doesn't sound like a lot, but the difference between like a 0.8 and a 0.67 when you feel somebody cutting you down is very significant.
Yeah, it's huge.
And I was watching just like I forget what I was doing. I was just kind of clicking through just like Twitch streams, looking at stuff, and I stumbled on somebody playing fucking whatever the latest Call of Duty is, and I was like, what's up with these games? I haven't played one of these in like 10 years. And the TTKs in those games are nutty.
It's like 0.3.
Yeah, right. It's like 4-3 bullets from anything will put a dude down. And the radar system is way more like weird. Like it's harder to see people. Like the UI stuff is less obvious. Well, like you won't see like a name over a player or necessarily numbers coming out of them or whatever. It's just yeah. It does not look like a ton of fun to me personally.
Yeah, I agree. I've never found games like that especially fun, and that's you know. We talked a lot today about our gripes with Destiny, but, like, the way Destiny plays is so much fun to me, and that's why I keep coming back to it.
Yeah, and how much love like, they put into, like, each of the, like there hasn't been an exotic other than, arguably, like, I haven't really rendered a verdict on it, but, like, the Stasis Sidearm I haven't fucked with enough to have an opinion on, but, like, Deadman is one of my favorite weapons that they ever made. That slug shotgun. I'm forgetting the names of everything today.
Duality
is one of my favorite weapons that they've ever made. Those are both really simple. Like, there's not a lot to them. They're not super flashy guns, but they have an identity and they have a tactile sensation that other guns in their caliber do not feel like when you fire them. Like the people who make that stuff in the Destiny do such a good fucking job.
And even people who play a lot of other FPSs agree that Destiny has the best gun design, the best sound design, the best, like, reload animations, and the crispiest feeling gunplay of, like, anyone in the industry.
Really sharp movement, too.
Yeah, it's, The core part of the game is still just really, really good.
Really good,
It's a shame that there's always, like, that all of this other shit is just, like the turd on top of your, you know,
shit sundae.
Delicious sundae. Yeah,
it's shitting on pearls. Really, it's the opposite of polishing a turd because the foundation is so beautiful, but then it's covered up with
just right, just spooned up this poop. Heap and helping a diarrhea, and just gonna put delightful. It right there in the middle.
Exactly.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Like it's
more
like
please.
You know.
No more, please.
More, please.
More, please. Yes. But yeah, it's very much just like they did such a good job with just the basic design of all those things and the foundation of the groundwork of everything. And they have a lot of really cool story beats going on to the game too. But
yeah,
like,
the narrative, like the slow coming together of the like getting that one Cabal faction over to their side. I like the Keitel stuff from last season. Whatever looks like might happen with the Mithraq stuff this season, like we're a week in or whatever. Like I kind of dig that. I like the in general. I like the I like the Lord of the Ringsifying of the like. I'm all about summoning the elves and men and dwarves of the Destiny universe together to fight the darkness. I'm totally fine with this as a, like a narrative conceit.
Right. Yeah, it just feels like the monetization and the lack of attention to the parts of the game that are crucial to a pretty considerable portion of their player base is just frustrating. And like, and not to mention the absence of attention to Gambit. Gambit.
That's a legitimate point, but also, man, I don't care.
I mean, yeah, like, sure. So, well, we only don't care because it's been left for dead.
It's so
for
bad, long, right?
Like, you know,
but it's embarrassing.
But that's the thing. It's fucking embarrassing. It's a stain on the game at this point. They should have just taken it out, you know? They disgraced themselves on it. Rather than stuffing extremely long grinds into it, they should just get rid of it or just put it in a corner, you know?
They're not going to do that. Like, they'll keep trying half-hearted, like, we did a thing to Gambit to make it better, and then 2 weeks later, no.
Double drain, care. And it happens automatically right. Now.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder how, like, I don't even know how they can really fix Gambit. There's a lot of little things I can think of that would maybe make it a little bit better, but it might just not really work.
At this point, I don't think they're saving it.
They're definitely not going to commit the resources to save it. Mm-hmm.
Oh Lord, no!
They're not going to take it out of the game either.
Yeah, it's gonna limp forward for at least another year, probably.
Man.
Yeah, we'll see. But I don't know. I think I've mostly said my piece about where Destiny's at this point. Like I said, that the shame of it all to me. This is kind of my closing statement, and then I'll open it up for anybody else who has other thoughts before we kind of like shut this thing down. Is that Like, in describing that, like, the good parts of the game versus the bad parts, that's the ultimate frustration, like, that is kind of hitting a new peak right now with kind of the transmog stuff and how some of these seasonal grinds for the weapons have worked, is that, they have the hard part right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the hard part of making a good game is making a game that is good.
Yeah.
It's like making a game that in practice people want to play, and the easy part is just not overwhelming people with other dog shit that is outside of the purview of that game.
And yet.
And yet, here we are. So it's just a
dollar to be squeezed out of
it.
Yeah,
right. It just feels like it feels like a real shame. Like I said, for the player base and for the people who bust their asses getting content out there. That is constantly undermined by stuff that has nothing to do with the core gameplay loop of what it is to play Destiny 2. Like, I think that's the part that stings more than, like, if the game was just shitty and also it was this way, who would even care?
We wouldn't play. Right, we'd do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the push-pull. That's where we're at.
So. Mm-hmm.
The Stockholm Syndrome is just fully set in.
Yep.
Basically. Enough.
I can change him.
That's right. Only me.
Make a friendly worded Reddit post with enough upvote, maybe it'll finally change.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah, right.
That's how some setting was removed.
Makes it worse.
It does make it worse. Yeah.
It wasn't Destiny's fault. I ran into a door.
Oh no.
I shouldn't have said that thing.
Vex on the field.
Yes, this game is an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm. It really is,
but
I do want to. My final piece is just echoing something like from the community. I've seen a lot of the community talking a lot about we want some fucking transparency again. It's been radio silence on so many of the important things from Bungie again for the past year since like Shadowkeep dropped.
Well, I think people deserve that from like Crucible and stuff for sure. As far as the monetization stuff, like I promise you you will never get that, because I guarantee you there are people within the teams internally that don't get, that aren't told why things are the way they are. They just, somebody decides a thing and it gets passed down through the chain. But
that's executive shit that goes on. But no, like, I'm talking about internal gameplay stuff.
To increase breakdown sales.
Right.
And you're talking about, like, why aren't there Crucible maps?
Yes, like, they should at this point say this number of months from now, there will be a new map for the Crucible. They should do that.
I mean, like, especially, you know, they made that post a while back, like I think it was a year ago now, about the renewed focus on the Crucible, and they said that, and we haven't heard dog shit. And that, and as primarily Crucible players, that sucks dick.
Yep.
And they need to fix that, because that sucks. It's because it's like, you know, it's being led along in an abusive relationship.
Right.
You know, like, it's going to change.
Uh-huh. And that would be a good opportunity to do stuff like they did that. They spun up that devlog where they have like some of the people working on the game put blog posts about like, you know, challenges and like just individual instances of weird shit and stuff in the game. Like, that would be a great opportunity to do something like that. That is even more directly community driven. Like, get some of those content creators involved and have like outsource it. Have Fallout, have Asked Across, have people like that write blog posts and stuff for you guys about how they feel like the state of the Crucible meta is or whatever, and just put that shit in a corner of the website somewhere. Just give people a platform to feel like they're at least being listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, especially like, because like, I think Crucible needs it the worst. Yeah, because I mean, I don't often see PvE players complain about like the broader sense of it,
and because there's still that's been like
a pretty good spot.
Yeah, the Nightfalls. Yeah. The update they've done to Nightfalls has been really good. First in terms of gameplay with the champions, I think, and then in terms of loot with like putting depth weapons and stuff in there.
Can I segue this into my spiel?
Because yes.
I was definitely going to touch on this.
Go for it.
There is more to do in this game than there has ever been, in a good way.
Yeah.
And absolutely. That's especially for PvE players. There's Nightfall ordeals, which are a great system that makes me want to keep doing Nightfalls for specific loot and for, like, Ascendant Shards and shit, and even exotics. But also there's missions. All of the dungeons are now relevant.
Mm-hmm.
There's at least a couple of raids and more coming.
Yeah, we're gonna rehashed raid in a couple days.
Right, PvE players have nothing to complain about in terms of content at all.
Yeah, and I don't have any problem with this. Like, the core activity in any given season is a PvE thing. Like, I kind of think that's the way it should be, because Destiny is not primarily a PvP product. It is a large portion of it, but it is not like
another drifter.
You know, they're not running esports shit. Like, we've said that plenty of times. Like, that's not what this game is.
That's another game they'll be working on soon.
Right. Yeah. Well,
for fact.
Yeah. That is the rumor right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Destiny Esports.
To build on that, there's a thing I was thinking today. Like, what's the breaking point on the seasonal activities? Because originally they existed for a season and then they were gone forever. But people didn't like that, you know, content was this stream, so now they're just being piled on top of each other.
Well, they have said if they stick to the thing that they said, like, when they said that they were transitioning into, like, if they stick to this part of the Destiny Content Vault concept, all this stuff is going to go away when
season
Witch
15
King launches Batman or whatever
comes out.
Yeah, or whatever. What's the new season? Yeah,
Witch
it'll
clean.
Yeah, that they will wipe the slate clean of the previous year once the next year of contents has started its cycle. So, like, when the next expansion comes out, that's when, like, Battlegrounds will be gone and Nightmare Hunts and whatever the fuck all that other shit was.
Right. Wraithborn Hunts, Dustin. Still not Nightmare Hunts.
Thank you.
Get behind that.
Right, which I think is a great compromise of, like, you don't have to be tuned in every 3 months to definitely do this, but but at the same time, is there really reason to leave Wraithborn Hunts in the game 2 years after they were relevant? Like, I don't know about that.
No. Power creep's gonna overtake the weapons that are in there anyways. And there weren't really a lot of good weapons in Wraithborn Hunts.
Not many winners in that pool anyway. Definitely Whisper and maybe the SMG.
Yeah, and the SMG had definitely got mad outshadowed by the trials.
The Iron Banner one.
They at least don't compete directly since they're not in the same slot.
Right, but Multimog is so much better.
Yeah, the Iron Banner one ate its lunch.
It really beat it up, ate its lunch money, and fucked its mom.
Damn. Multimog,
anyway,
why?
Lorraine. Because
Multimog is cyberbullying straight up.
Lorraine, Kyle, do either of you have like a big thesis statement to add before we kind of wrap this up?
And as someone who's like,
should be ashamed. All right, you first.
We go, Lorraine. Then Kyle can. Lorraine, say your piece. Then Kyle can shame Bungie.
Okay, sounds good.
Right.
As definitely more of a PvE focused player in our group, though I do play a lot of PvP. I am definitely like contently satisfied with like how the seasons have been progressing. Like, I fucking love Presage. I'm definitely more into this new seasonal activity, though obviously not for forever, because I ditch them as fast as I need to once I'm done with what I need out of them.
Didn't even notice.
But I've definitely been enjoying, like, as from Chosen, or I guess you can even say from, like, Season of the Hunt, which was definitely a little, like, lukewarm, even though it had all the, like, Beyond Light bullshit in it. From that to Chosen to Splicer, it has definitely felt like a increase in quality overall. Mm-hmm. Like, the general feel of, like, someone like Phil said or whatever, there's like a million things to be doing at any given point in time, and I kind of want to be doing most of them. Which
there's a bunch of new Lost Sectors,
yeah,
and they feel better picked than the Moon ones.
that whole thing is really cool, in my opinion. The Lost Sector stuff,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The heroic Lost Sectors.
Uh-huh.
I don't play them much because, like, I don't play a lot of Destiny PvE content now, just because I am overwhelmed.
Cool, yeah.
No, I'm like, I am. It's like an anxiety of like what to do. There's so much to do. What is there to complete? And then I look at it and I go, "Fuck it, I'm not doing."
It's like loading up Netflix, and then you scroll for 4 minutes, and then you go do something else.
Yeah, then I turn on Hulu and loop it.
Yeah. And you watch Parks
or,
and Rec.
Well, yeah.
Or on Netflix, I play Community again as I sleep, or right. Big Mouth or something.
Uh-huh.
It's just like I'm like, why would I do any of this when I could just play PvP and not have to invest any focus or effort into those things? And that comes back to the lack of legitimate rewards that you get from stuff.
Kyle, take us home. What do you...
So, yeah, I 100% agree with everything Lorraine said. I'm going to really contrast that by fucking shaming Bungie for how terribly they've treated PvP.
No, and I'm 1,000%, Kyle. I endorse this 1,000%.
Yeah. How badly they let PvP rot for so long. Like, mm-hmm. they should be ashamed of themselves, and there deserves to be that page, that post on the Reddit every day about how bad it is that there's no maps, that ice is unbalanced, that weapons are unbalanced. That there's just...
Yeah, I
can't let this keep happening.
I totally agree. In terms of...
We deserve, like you were saying earlier, the feedback. And we deserve to hear what's going on and when it will be fixed, because this is embarrassing and unacceptable.
Yeah, and I am probably more generous than most people towards the plight of... like, the Bungie devs and what it goes through to put this game together, but I absolutely, like, I agree with both of you guys, like, you and Brian, who cited that earlier about the communication, that, like, somebody needs to fucking say something.
Okay.
So, the sad thing is, like, I think they've done a pretty good job with weapon balancing.
Yeah!
Is the least of those problems, for sure.
Yeah, agreed.
It's in a pretty good spot, but, like, the stasis, and it looked like they were taking the stasis problem seriously, and then they released the biggest possible stasis buff to the most used stasis subclass.
Yeah, and those two on the DL Warlock nerfs that I think I saw read today that they did, like, retroactively add them to the patch notes of, like, you can't air dodge out of stasis anymore, and you can't use the Nova Warp blink out of it. Like, you couldn't use a regular blink out of stasis ever, but you could use the, like, the dash one, and now you can't do that anymore either.
Yeah, those are crazy. I can't believe that they did that.
Yeah,
Warlock is the least used subclass, isn't it?
I have no idea. I mean, it's either them or Titans on any given day. Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
But I mean, the big thing is why the fuck nerf non-stasis subclasses on one of the less used classes?
The intent was always that you weren't supposed to be able to dodge.
Right.
I've seen it to their design.
I mean, so intent and their intent...
I totally, given how bad it was.
I agree with the statement that Kyle made, but I also absolutely agree with, like, what Brian is saying, and that, like, it is just another bad look. They never intended it to work that way, but considering how people feel about stasis right now in Crucible, like, changing that thing at this point feels shitty.
What you prioritize.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like, why change that when you need to go, every single PvP player is bitching about getting frozen because it sucks.
Why can't you freeze
and the average
in
trials
Crucible.
Match, you're against, like, 2.5 revenants.
Yeah, and the ones that aren't revenants are almost
Shadebinders or Behemoths or Chaos Reaches.
Yeah,
I don't want them to nerf Chaos.
Say, right, don't worry, we'll get that Geomag nerf incoming, and everybody will be again just super happy.
So it sucks because like the reason Chaos Reach is so good is because
it's sort of counter stasis.
Yeah,
it's on the level of stasis. Which,
you know, is its the neutral gain isn't though. It's just the fact that the super is so useful.
It's like. So Chaos Reach is super good because you get the super and it wins you a fucking round, but the neutral game is so bad that it's not always going to save you. But it, like that, you may be behind by the time you get the super if you're playing people that are on your level or better.
It,
and using
it specifically stasis. Takes advantage of the fact that stasis supers take longer to charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that actually
but
true?
We can't have that.
Yeah.
On paper,
all stasis
it is.
Abilities take longer
right,
to charge.
Yeah. There's so many ways to circumvent it that it's, yeah. in some cases
it
doesn't feel
it
longer, but technically they have longer timers.
Okay.
Yeah, on paper the numbers are bigger, but are longer, but they have built-in fragment ways to reduce it. In addition to stats that are on the fragments that increase your time, like your intellect and this mm-hmm. and that and the other. Like you get raw stats just for playing stasis.
Yeah,
well, you think there'll be more fragments in following seasons?
Fucking probably.
I think there will be next season because I think that they're. Yeah. I think that was part of their 12-year or their 12-month. I think the calendar says every season will put a thing on the new subclass. So I suspect there will be one more set before they are done.
Right, I guarantee we will get fragments every season until the Witch Queen season comes out. And then at that point, we're going to get a light overhaul where we might get light fragments. We all fucking hope.
Yeah.
And we'll hopefully...
They might not do that. They might just focus on whatever the new dark subclass is. Mm.
Or if that's still, like, that's a thing that they could push out of there if, like, you know, if starved for time, like, maybe that wouldn't launch with that. Who the fuck knows? I'm not even going to begin to posit what might be in Witch Queen, considering that 3-month delay. I wonder when we'll hear something about that, honestly. Like, because it probably won't be on the same schedule. Like, it probably won't necessarily be in, like, around E3 time in the summer, because it's not a fall release.
Right, it's...
So, like, maybe the first real look at that we'll get in, like, September or something, like, when they've launched some expansions in the past. Yeah.
Most likely. Soul Fire.
Right,
it's gonna be the spec, Soulfire spec. I'm in. Anyway,
yeah, it's gonna have 2-minute dots.
I like Destiny. I feel like it's a pretty good place overall. I wish the loot was better, and I wish PvP got a little more attention.
Yeah, same.
That's mm-hmm. about, put off the gas on.
That's about right. And they definitely owe people the last thing I'll say is that my prediction. I'm glad I didn't wager. I would have weighed another pizza probably. I didn't actually wager this with anyone, but my prediction was always going to be like, oh, there will definitely be one or two Europa maps in PvP.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
sure.
within this dev cycle, like, before there is a new expansion, and every day that goes by, I am less sure that that will ever be true. So.
I don't know who would have taken that bet against you, but man, they would have been right.
You're right, exactly. Like, if only...
Such an easy thing.
Yeah, I could have owed somebody a lot of pizza.
You see, I would have taken that bet.
I could have owed Brian a lot of pizza.
When it Diablo never came released. Out, Crucible did not feel this bad, just in terms of how much attention it got.
They have never released an expansion without new Crucible maps.
Right, that too.
So, like, also, everyone assumed there would be new Crucible maps.
And every season, they rotated maps in and out for people, as opposed to you get to be online. They just take 11 out and, you know,
nothing.
Put a pin on the entire mode.
So we'll see. But I agree. Like, I think, like Phil said, it's just frustrating that, like, so much of the game feels so good, and a lot of it is unforced errors, and some of it is just like they need to give a little more attention to people. At minimum, they need to tell people more what's going on with PvP stuff specifically. Mm-hmm. But
right.
But in any case,
let's go play Destiny.
Yeah, I think that's good. That's a really healthy conversation about taxes and Destiny. The two things that are most important in life.
Eternal.
I need some water and some tax drink.
Okay.
Oh, that
sounds
tax
good.
Juice?
Well, everybody go get a beverage of your choice, and we'll probably go play some Destiny.
I have 10 exotic engrams stored from this conversation now.
All right. I can't wait to hear what they are.
You're a fucking monster.
Well, yeah. Phil's going to go pop those exotics, and we'll be back in a couple weeks with something else.
I'm gonna stash them.
never open any. Like they're gonna appreciate them. They're like Beanie Babies. They never go down.
With Dogecoin.
That's right. Yep. 100%.
Oh my god.
GME stock.
Oh, that went up again today. It gave like $20 in 4 hours.
Shit.
It's a nightmare.
Some guy tweeted an obscure picture of, you know, a GameStop storefront, and now it's up.
Oh boy. Anyway. Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us, for hanging out, talking about Destiny. Until next time, we will see you later, Internet.
Bye.
Be a cynical shithead like me. Don't do it.